Hello, and welcome to Season 7, Episode 4 of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. I'm Becca, and this is a podcast that features members of the Virtual Coffee community. Virtual Coffee is an intimate group of developers at all stages of their coding journey, and they're here on this podcast sharing their stories and what they've learned. And we're here to share it with you. Here with me today is my co-host, Dan.
What up, Beck? How's it going?
It is going amazing.
Nice. Yes. So is it still 70 degrees and sunny in where you are?
It is 70 degrees and sunny. It is very nice.
It is sunny here. It's actually nice. I was complaining about the weather earlier today, but it is like 50, but it's sunny, which that is, you know, that's a good thing. In my mind anyway. I like the sun.
Sun is nice. So, yeah. Sunny, just like this episode was really sunny. I felt really warm and happy while we recorded it.
Was an awesome segue.
Thank you.
Yeah. Speaking of sunny conversations. today we talked with Aishwarya. Had a great conversation. She is a delight to talk to. And we talked about a lot about open source and about her journey, you know, at becoming a developer and all of the amazing work she did during Hacktoberfest this past year. She topped our leaderboards. I looked it up during the podcast. Now I can't remember. What was it? 10? Nine? Maybe. I think it was more than we thought after I looked it up.
Yeah. I think it was an even number.
Okay. 8 or 10. Anyway, she had an incredible amount of pull requests during Hacktoberfest. And she hit like her 4 or whatever that we wanted for Hacktoberfest really early, I think, and then just kept the ball rolling. It was really cool to see.
Yeah, she was a first-time open source contributor, and she contributed to my postpartum wellness app, and I got to work with her as a mentor this year, but she did not really need any mentoring. She was just tearing up the issues. It was so fun to watch, and she just kept going, and it was I felt really energized by seeing her do all of the contributions during Hacktoberfest and during our conversation today, too.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like she has that, I don't know, that innate like thing that you lots of times want to see in developers where they enjoy it a little bit, you know, they kind of keep going. She, and with open source, I feel like the people that contribute often to open source, that's a pretty common thing. And you know, if you're not paid for it, you have to find time and do it on your own. And, it's one of the many, many reasons I love Hacktoberfest because it helps people get over that initial hump of getting into it. And then sometimes you end up with people that do it for their whole lives or whatever.
Yeah, or, right. You know, I mean, you're really building a community at that point, right? Like an open source community. Yeah. And it can be a really great place to be.
Absolutely.
Well, we start every episode of the podcast like we start every virtual coffee. We say our names, where we're from, what we do, and answer a random check-in question. We hope you enjoy this episode. Today's random check-in question is, who's your favorite hero? My name is Becca. I am a technical community builder from a small town in Ohio. And I don't know the answer to this.
Is this Wanda, like fictional hero?
I'm definitely going with fictional.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because otherwise then you'd have to like probably say your mom or your dad or something. And, you know, otherwise you feel guilty. All right, fictional.
I mean, but you can. Cool. If you want to say your mom and your dad, that's fine. I'm going to go with Wanda from the Marvel.
She's a bad guy, Becca.
In her own story, right?
Well, sure. So were lots of
bad
people.
She has done some heroic things.
Recently.
Fine. Sam from Lord of the Rings, okay? I feel very boring saying that.
Samwise. He's a good one.
All right. Who's your excellent pick, Dan?
Hi, I'm Dan. I live in Cleveland. I, you know what I do. And gosh, I don't know. If I had time to like really think, I probably could pull out some like interesting one, you know, but like Han Solo is the one that comes to mind. And I know like, honestly, these answers, I'm always like picking Star Wars things because it's like always the, you know, first thing I think of. But yeah, Hazel is my favorite because, you know, he's a scoundrel. He's a scoundrel, which I like. And also, whatever, he didn't like set out trying to be a hero. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like his heart told him to do the right thing and all that stuff, which I like, you know? So that's my answer. I'm going Han Solo.
Hello. So my name is Aishwarya. I'm from India. I work as a front-end developer. I mostly work with React and recently started with React Native. And for me, fictional hero, are we going with like a movie star or something like that?
Could be.
You could do it however you want. Yeah, I was trying to think of books and my mind went totally blank, but it can be, you know, it could be anything. It's you make the rules.
Okay, so I'm not sure I remember his name, but the book is Me Before You, and he sort of helps her. I can't remember his name right now, and I love that character very much.
Nice.
It's a movie plus book. Yeah.
Me, what was it?
Me Before You.
Me Before You.
Me Before You. Nice. All right.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I've definitely heard about that before, and maybe we even talked about it at Virtual Coffee.
Yes. He meets with an accident and she's sort of taking care of him and he pushes to her towards her dreams.
Oh, nice. Cool. Nice. That sounds awesome. We'll have a link in the show notes to that too. So we want to thank you so much for being here with us and on our season 7 of the Virtual Coffee podcast. And we always like to get started with origin stories. So before you jump in and let us know what your origin story is, how you got to this point in your career, what is one word that describes your career journey?
I'd say a bit difficult or evolving. Everything is changing. You get to a point where you're like, okay, so I have a hang on this. But at a certain point, it just spins you and it is just evolving.
That resonates with me a lot. I like that. That's a really good one. So tell us a little bit about this evolving journey that you've been on. So how did you get started doing computery things and where you are to get and how did you get to where you are now?
Okay, so my story is same old school. Actually, I've done my engineering in computer science and I wasn't that involved in coding back then. But then at one point, I think I remember in one of my classes, there was one senior who came to meet my professor again, and I was facing some issues. So he was like typing right away on terminal, and I was fascinated with what he was actually doing. And he wasn't even looking anywhere, just typing fast. And it really hit me like, okay, this is something that I would also like to do. And it is always something that every time you do something different and new, and it is challenging you at every point. So I started, I was actually continuing my engineering, but I was not sure at that point that what would I actually be interested in. So during interviews and stuff, so I was also doing Java and all, but it wasn't getting into me. So at point I thought maybe I'd do something different. But then I went into web development. Also started out with HTML, fall in love with CSS, and then JavaScript, started a job. Previously, I was not mostly working in any kind of like logical things or something, but at Venice Twist companies, when you get take home assignments, at that point, I really started getting into coding, like real coding, not HTML and CSS. So that was the beginning, and that is me falling in love with Java now.
That's awesome. I love that. And so now you're doing a little bit of React Native. Will you talk a little bit about like how you ended there and the differences that you've seen between React and React Native?
Okay, so React Native is, I started in Hacktoberfest. I was contributing to a React Native repository, and then it was just kind of not that much, but then recently I've started working on it at work. So the difference mainly is that in React you use divs And in React Native, there are views kind of stuff. And the main difference being that you use React for web and React Native for iOS and Android apps. So mainly it is helpful because of if you are using a native language, it is mostly for a particular device. So it is either for iOS or either Android. But if you are using React Native, it is for both of them.
Yeah. Do you miss having actual CSS when you're working with React Native? Yeah. That's always my biggest struggle when I have React Native projects I'm working on. It's just like, this would be so easy if I could just add a style, you know, like to this container or whatever. Yeah, that's awesome. So you studied computer science and did you say you were mostly doing Java during your actual studies, or did you get into JavaScript stuff while you were still in school?
Actually, web development was only a subject for one semester. So it was mostly Java-based things during college. Mm-hmm. And I also did some Python and stuff, but it wasn't much back then.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's cool. So you got one class of web stuff in, and that kind of got the bug going. Yeah. I think that experience is a shared one with a lot of people where somebody gets into web development by doing HTML and CSS. And I think that I would count that as real coding, you know, personally, but it doesn't have the logic puzzles, right? It doesn't have some of those pieces. Yeah. And I think that there's a lot of people that get into front-end development that way and then find their happy place, you know, like doing this stuff, doing React or doing React Native, and including myself, you know, because you still get some of the instant, and sorry if you guys can hear, my dog is chewing on a bone behind me. So Ali is here in the podcast studio today. But what I was saying was something about React. Oh man, I was about
CSS
to make an amazing point.
HTML and
HTML and CSS.
Instant.
Right, instant gratification. That's what it was. Yes. Okay. You get a lot of the front end development. You can still get a lot of the sort of instant gratification stuff, right? And you get to like see and mess around with the thing that you're building, which is one of my favorite parts about front end. But you still get to do some of the like hard, you know, harder logic stuff too. So yeah, that's cool. I'm always happy when people kind of have like found, you know, found something that they are enjoying and succeeding in. It's really neat.
And you mentioned doing some React Native work during Hacktoberfest. And so I want to transition into that topic. Working through Hacktoberfest and open source this year. Was this your first year doing Hacktoberfest?
Yeah, it was.
And so, how many pull requests did you have at the end of this Hacktoberfest?
Actually, it was nine.
Nine.
And we were messaging you.
You just rocked it. You just kept going. You got your four, and that didn't matter. It was all of the things that you could do. And I was super impressed by, not only were you doing this for the first time, but you just crushed it. You blew it out of the water. So what was that like for you getting started with Hacktoberfest?
Actually, when I started, I think I was a day or two late maybe. And most of the tweets that I've seen were almost like, oh, my two PRs were approved and accepted and all that stuff. So, and going into, I was not sure if I'd even do two or more than two. So I went into like, okay, I'll at least learn something and maybe I'll do it seriously next year. I got into it in that attitude. But when I started actually doing it, I really loved it. It was really great experience for me. Got to improve my coding skills, got to learn new technologies, and it was really very interesting. And also, everyone is always saying open source, but when you actually experience this, it is very rewarding.
Yeah, I agree. It does take, and this is one of the reasons why I love Hacktoberfest so much, and I love like what we do at Virtual Coffee, because it is a different approach, right? I mean, it's, you know, it's a little bit different than a situation where you're in a job and somebody tells you what to do, or you're building your own thing and you kind of have it all in your head, right? There's some different steps, I think. But I think a lot of people have had that experience where once you get through the first couple, you know, the first couple pull requests and you feel that reward, you know, hopefully anyway, you know, and not everybody has awesome experiences, but I think most of the time they are. And, it's really great to hear. And I just looked it up on our roundup, but, we have you at 10 pull requests for Hacktoberfest, not 9. So, you know, you're shorting yourself one. So made it to 10. You were topped our leaderboard for total pull requests. So that's pretty awesome.
So when you decided to get into Hacktoberfest, what were your thoughts on open source contributions in general?
So actually, before Hacktoberfest, I actually might have Googled something, but I was not sure about the repositories or where to contribute, or I was not confident enough to do ask someone if I could work on this. But then afterwards, it sort of just fell through.
Yeah, so that can be a really hard and tricky thing for first-time contributors, making sure that everybody feels supported and finding that first issue. And it seems like that was a challenge that you found as well, even registering a couple days later, whatever happened with that. Everything gets picked up so quickly. So do you have advice for anybody that is considering getting started in open source on what to do in that situation?
So my main advice would be that you should find the good first issues or beginner-friendly issues using that tag in GitHub, in my case. So, and you should at least try, even first contribution should not always be a coding contribution. It can also be like a document, you contributing to a documentation, any typos fixing, anything like that. So first contribution is like, you should at least try and see how it goes.
Yeah, I love that. I think that like, that's something that we try to push as well. And it's really good advice is it's fine. You can find you can find issues that aren't code, and that can help you get started. I'm sure I've said this on the podcast before, but you know, learning too many things at once, lots of times results in you getting frustrated or whatever. And so if you are trying to learn open source stuff, then concentrate on something that you don't have to like learn some whole other thing to do the issue. This is great advice. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And there are more companies out there, open source companies that are creating those issues as well. I think it was AppWrite, who was one of this year's sponsors, had issues open for people who wanted to write blog posts. So maybe you're not up to taking on an issue, but you can write about that. And writing about that helps other users to understand, these are the ways that we can use this. Oh, this is how you implement that feature. And I think that's a really interesting take on getting more people involved in open source contributions. But I think for me, that's something that seems like a good path to be able to get into a project and kind of evaluate the project too. I'm a little bit more confident writing than I am with coding. And I can see what those interactions with the open source teams are like while doing something that I'm a little bit more comfortable with. You know, one of the things that I think is impressive about what you did in Hacktoberfest as well was you had been working in React, but then you still took a React Native issue. So what got you thinking that it would be okay to take on an issue working with a technology that you hadn't used before?
So the main point was that I was familiar with the maintainer, and it communication was really great, and I knew while reading the issue, I was confident enough. It was a big thing for me to even write that message that if can I work on this issue, but when after communicating and after seeing the steps were very clear of what I wanted, what I had to do. So it was really helpful in that point. And so that helped me a lot.
Yeah, I like that. Knowing the maintainer can make it, again, decreases barriers to entry. And so reaching out to a maintainer whether you know them from Twitter or in Slack, or if you can add something to the discussion, it never hurts to start that conversation with them and see what the expectations are as well. So most of my open source projects are there to help people get started in open source and to encourage that. So I actually think in my postpartum wellness app, the majority of people who have contributed to it have not used React Native before.
Yeah.
And so not every open source project is created to be, okay, now my brain stopped. Not every open source project is created with the same mission in mind. That's what I was going to say. And so, you know, there's different ways to evaluate open source repositories as well. And one of those ways is, what does the communication look like? What are the expectations of the maintainers? And sometimes you can get that from the issues. And I've talked about this before, but one of the things I learned a couple of years ago was writing issues can be really hard if you want to write a good issue, or time consuming, really, because you want to help people understand what you want. Part of the problem is a lot of times I don't understand what I want. requires me to make some decisions. But if you can look at an issue and understand, or if you feel like the maintainer would be open to answering questions, then that can be a really great way to form that relationship and to work on something new. And just one last thing in that tangent is, open source is a really great space to be able to use a new technology that you might not have the opportunity to use otherwise, and see, like, hey, maybe you hated React Native and you thought, I never want to touch this again, right? I don't think that happened, because now you're working on React Native stuff at work. But I think that having those experiences helps you to learn and to grow in a different way too. So when you went through this whole open source journey, and in the beginning, you weren't really sure of what to expect or what things would look like, how did your perspective change, or did it change, at the end of Hacktoberfest when you completed your 10 PRs?
Actually, my perspective changed when I completed 4, and I was really interested in doing more open source. Change in perspective was that I got a bit more confident in asking to maintainers if I could work on this issue. Also, I was a bit more confident in my skills as well at that point of time.
Yeah, that's great. And so you were a first-time contributor, but how long have you been coding before this Hacktoberfest?
I'd say this March is going to be 3 years for me working in this industry. But in initial days, I was only working with HTML, CSS, and did a bit of WordPress. So main JavaScript is mostly like 2 years.
I think that's important to point out, because we have had a lot of different contributors who have varying degrees of experience, right? And a lot of times people think that first-time contributors are people who are very new to coding. And that's just not the case. You know, there are people out there that are interested, or maybe are aware of open source, but haven't contributed. And so, like, finding those different levels of providing issues and support for people is, I think it's really important to think about. Like, there are developers at all stages of their careers who are willing to contribute if they feel supported in the way that they need supported to do that thing. So I think that it's great that you jumped in this year.
Yeah, actually, I had a very great support with you guys as well, because in the Hacktoberfest channel, so we used to get a lot of good first issues. And because of that, also, I did not have to go out of the way to find issues. Most of the time, I would get it there as well. And supportive maintainer is also a great point in this, because if I'm able to communicate with, I know that, so the person in front of me is going to explain what the problem is, then it helps also.
Yeah, I love that. And finding that community of people that are willing to support you can be really important. And I know, you know, one of the things that I saw at Virtual Coffee that I really appreciated is there were a lot of maintainers out there who were willing to add issues for people of varying levels. And so, like you were saying, in those first couple of days, those beginner issues or good first issues are really snatched up quickly. Yes. And so if people want to join in later, it can be really hard to find something. So it was nice to see people asking like, hey, I'm looking for a good first time issue, and people saying like, hey, I'll write something up, or I have this issue. And then that way, you know, that you have the support of the maintainer and you know that there's a possibility for more interaction there as well. So if somebody is thinking about getting into open source now outside of Hacktoberfest, what do you think, other than looking at good first issues, how do you think they should get started?
So what I've been doing is recently, I've been searching on YouTube videos as well, where most of the people explain in their videos which are the organizations that help beginner friendly issues for you to work on. So I've been doing that actually, and mostly Google. But in case of Google, sometimes what happens is that few of the links are broken or old, or also if it is on Hacktoberfest, I've seen that mostly everyone is not available to reply to your message if you are asking for an issue. So maybe just waiting it out is what you'll have to do at this point of time.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. I mean, I think all that was good advice. But your last point is an important one, I think, for people to remember, because if you're going to be a contributor to a repository, lots of times it's because you know, maybe you found it like you're doing with Google or YouTube, or maybe it's a package that you use or something like that, and you would like to see an improvement. But what will happen is you get all excited, right? And, you know, and maybe comment on the issue, or maybe try to work up a pull request or whatever. And all of that stuff is in your brain, right? Because you're working on it right then. But maintainers are, awesome, especially with smaller packages or smaller projects, aren't, you know, in there every day doing stuff every day. And so there's like this whole context switch thing that needs to happen. And so I really appreciated how you said having some patience, you know, and like building that into your mindset, because it's important. And, you know, everybody's doing their best. I just recently had a pull request. I made an issue. What was it? No, I had a problem. I ran into a problem, found that there was somebody else that had the problem and wrote the issue. And I was able to like make a pull request to fix it, you know? So I made this pull request and commented and all this stuff, and then just didn't even hear anything for like 2 weeks. And then after 2 weeks, it was just like, got merged. Nope, no comments, no, like nothing. And, you know, and like, I'm like, honestly, that's cool. You know, like the urge to go back and say, hey, did you miss this email? Or, you know, please, you know, check back, all that stuff is understandable. But I, you know, everybody's busy and all of that stuff. So I think that's a really good plan of, you know, making the effort, but like also trying to, you know, use some patience and understand that people aren't just constantly watching their GitHub notifications, you know, day and night.
I like that tip too of checking on YouTube and seeing where people are pointing you. I've never thought about that or heard anybody else give that advice. And I think that's really unique. So I do appreciate that. And I would say, along with all of the great tips that you gave, sometimes just putting it out there into the world, I'm looking for a good first issue, does anyone have one? Somebody might respond to that, you know, because it, like, the searchability is often not great for these things, for a lot of the reasons that you said. You know, sometimes projects just kind of die after Hacktoberfest, or they're no longer being maintained. And so you try and take something on and nothing happens. And then that can be frustrating. And we definitely don't want people to be frustrated with that experience. So looking and seeing what the activity level is like is, I think, really important as you navigate into open source contributions.
I had wanted to call out that your YouTube tip as well. I was wondering if you, it's okay if you don't know them off the top of your head, but if you could share some of their creators, excuse me, some of the creators that are doing those videos, that you were talking about, I would, you know, and you can send them to me after if you don't remember, like off the top of your head, but I'd love to like check some of them out. Maybe we can link a couple in the show notes, because that seemed like a really good idea. And I also had never, I hadn't heard of that. And I think it's great. So I don't know if you know it or remember off the top of your head, but if you do.
Actually, I don't remember them, but yeah, I'll share the links with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love that. And we'll make sure to put them on the show notes, because that sounded like a really cool and interesting idea and a unique idea. And maybe something we could get into at Virtual Coffee as well. So we'll see.
What do you think some of the biggest challenges you faced during your open source contributions have been?
Main is finding a good first issue and there not being more than two people who are already asking for that same issue. But I don't think I've faced it that much. And also what I'm faced main was the merge conflicts. When you're merging a branch or when you're creating a pull request, actually. So that was something that I found a bit difficult, because I've been previously working with Azure DevOps. So it was there are huge source trees. So it wasn't like much of a terminal use. So this also merge conflict was something that I found a bit difficult. But once figured it out, it was also a bit easier to understand.
So wait, what was your solution? Did you end up using some command line things, or did you use different, the GitHub UI, or, you know?
No, I ended up using terminal only. That also was the main, it got me working on terminal henceforth.
Yeah, I love that. I love
merge conflicts.
Oh, yeah.
I have been known to like delete repos and just start over.
They can be hairy and not fun, for sure. But I love the idea of I love your approach anyway, of taking it as an opportunity, right? To learn something new and get better at something that you wanted to, like you're the senior, in school who was typing really fast in the terminal, you know, that's right. You're just about there. That's really cool. So do you have any, I might have checked out your GitHub, profile just recently, but I saw you're working on a personal project with looks kind of cool. Is that like an Instagram
cool, app?
Yeah. Is that just like a personal hobby project?
Actually, I want to explore more React Native, so I've started working on that a little bit.
Yeah, that's awesome. So is it like something you just kind of came up with in your head like that, or is it like you're following a tutorial, or, you know?
No, actually, I found a tutorial. So I tried first myself, then see what they are doing. So I also kind of get to know different coding types. So doing something with my style, but doing the person that YouTuber is doing his style. So combining, and so I'm going that up.
That's really cool. I love seeing people's. I love seeing people work on projects like that, but that's one of my favorite things about GitHub is being able to see what are people noodling with, what are people kind of doing? And you can kind of see everybody's project shelf, in my garage, I have this just shelf of stuff that maybe I'm half done. Maybe I used it to do something else, or maybe I meant to finish it. And maybe it's just something I'm currently working on, but it's all there, and I like that about GitHub. I like that people kind of by default put things in public, and it doesn't have to, it's just for you, it's not other thing, whatever, it's not like a thing that you're looking for contributions on, for example, but you still, it's like public and it's out there. And I think that's great. I think that's very cool.
One of the things that I've liked about GitHub recently is the feed that you get on your main page, I guess. Because if you are following people, you see the projects that they're working on or the projects that they've starred. And that's been another way that I've seen people find new open issues, just by kind of browsing through that person just started this project. Let me go check that out and see what that's about. There's an issue that I can take on. And so sometimes you accidentally fall into that thing, or you learn something new through that. I guess it's a feed of the people that you follow. I don't know. I just think that feature has been really, really fun to check out lately.
I was just going to say agreed. I never remember to look there because I just have my repositories bookmarked. But every time I go back to the GitHub homepage, I'm like, whoa, this is neat. There's so much stuff here. And then I forget about it again. But I think that's good advice.
Are there projects that you're interested in contributing to that you've been checking out, Aishwarya?
Yeah, actually, some projects that I've been working on during Hacktivist, I'm trying to see if there are any open issues. Actually, I'm not following anyone, or it was like a resume for me back then. But nowadays, I'm trying to see all this starting and following each other. And now that you said, looking into and the feed, I think that would also be a lot nice.
Yeah, I'm really bad at interacting with the social stuff on GitHub too. Like the stars, you know, I'm sure I have some starred repos, but I think at the beginning I was using them as like, I don't know, some sort of bookmark thing or whatever, and not, you know, like I wasn't really using it how people use it now, you know, and I just kind of stopped. And same with following. I don't think I follow a couple of people just because I wanted to see how it worked. But like, I just always forget about it. You know, I don't know. I don't think about it. But like, there's so much cool stuff that GitHub is doing. I think a lot of it is to do what we're talking about, right? Is to like expose other things that other people are working on to encourage, you know, people to jump over and, you know, help out and stuff. It's really cool. So that's going to be my mission. I'm going to start starring and following people on GitHub more often.
Yeah. I think some of the cool ones that I've seen lately, so I've been messing around with ChatGPT a lot. We've been talking a lot about that at Virtual Coffee. There have been a lot of people who have put up repositories that have like good commands, good topics to look up, different ways to approach it, resources for that, companies that are using it or AI in some way. It's kind of been fun to use it as a resource rather than thinking of a traditional open source project. It's just a markdown repository of things. And so to be able to learn in that way too, I think is really nice. I wish that there was some way to sort maybe a little bit better in terms of like, there's a lot of really great resources that are listed there on GitHub. And then there's a lot of like great code repositories. It would be nice to have a tag. This is just me talking out loud. Sorry. This is something that I would like to be able to see how many people have resources that are up. And that was one of my, actually, I think that's my very first open source project that I ever did was I was part of a Moms in Tech group. And so I created a markdown repository of resources and organizations that supported moms in their tech journey. And that was, I don't know, that was fun because I got to meet a lot of new people and kind of talk through some of those issues. And I really enjoy the conversation part of being an open source maintainer. And I know that's probably because my projects are small and I don't have a ton of people who are contributing. So I have the opportunity to do that. But that's how I would like to keep it, I think, because I do enjoy being able to talk to people about their experiences and to support them in different ways. Are there any bigger projects that you've looked at, or have you checked out any of like the React Native repos that are out there?
Oh yeah, actually, I was also looking at React repository. I would like love to someday contribute somehow.
Yeah, it's always fun to see what is out there and to just like take a peek and see if there's something that you can contribute to. A lot of times those ones, I think that sometimes when we get into open source, we think of those projects first, like, oh, the big ones. You know, people always say contribute to the projects that you use every day. But those ones often require a lot of in-depth knowledge and understanding of everything and their code base. And I think that many of them, the issues take a long time to work through. And that can be overwhelming, especially if you're trying to hit 4 pull requests. I think 1 year I was doing Hacktoberfest and I had already spent like 3 hours on an issue and I wasn't close to being done. And I was like, this is never going to happen. I'm never going to hit 4 if this is what it's going to take. And I wonder if there's any information out there about the average time it takes to complete 4 issues. into, I don't, maybe like level setting, expectation setting, but do you, what would you say on average, how long did it take you to complete an issue?
I think for me, it took like when I started, it took me around 4 to 5 days, but the accepting part is 7 days per request. So it would be more than that in that case. But average time, I think it also depends on what you're searching for and how much you get to work on. But mostly, I think it should be done in 10 days at least. That's my understanding.
Yeah.
I've seen people posting tweets saying, I've completed my third request on second or third day only.
Okay, so I was one of those people. I don't think I tweeted about it. It was like the second day I got the notification that I had hit my... And I think what happened was I had outstanding PRs on some repositories, and then somebody decided that they should merge them or something, because I don't know how I got them. Although I still haven't gotten my t-shirt yet, so I hope they don't revoke it. Like she didn't really get those PRs because I don't know where they came from.
I just got mine today.
Oh, really? Today? Nice. Yeah, I got mine a week or two ago.
Yeah, so understanding that all of these things takes time. And then going back a little bit to what you were talking about with looking at the issue and seeing how well it's broken down is really important. For I had someone at Virtual Coffee that I was mentoring their first Hacktoberfest as well last year, I think. And they chose something that said good first issue, and it required them to install Docker and write tests and do a substantial amount of coding, which I thought, there's no way that's a good first issue. I'm afraid of Docker. I don't want to use it. Maybe one day I will. It just seems scary.
Yeah, Docker is one of those things that it's like if somebody has set everything up for me, then I'm down, you know. But like I don't want to be building my own whatever configs and all that stuff, you know. It's another one of those tools that I'm like, well, if somebody else does all the hard work for me, then I'm fine using it.
Yeah,
like Webpack, the same thing. I'm like, I don't ever want to like specifically configure this, but I'll use it if somebody really really helps me.
All right, we're close to time for today, but we always, this season we're doing something a little bit different, and we're asking people one word that they would use to describe themselves. So what is that one word for you?
I'd say dedicated towards what I want to achieve. And sometimes if I don't know something, then I like to Google it myself and try to find it instead of directly saying no.
Yeah, I love that idea of being dedicated to the things that you're working on. Do you have any tips or advice for people who are finding it challenging to be dedicated to what they're working on right now?
If it's in the sense of coding, then I'd say do not follow tutorials, only follow documentation. Not follow is not a correct word. Just take a break or work on some projects. That is main advice I'd give my 2 year back self also, that stop watching tutorials and trying to remember things. It just comes to you when you're constantly working on things.
Yeah, I love that. I think that, you know, it's really challenging to stay dedicated, but you definitely have shown that you are dedicated. And I love that you use that word here, talking about these things, especially when you knocked Hacktoberfest out of the park with your 10 PRs merged in this year. So I will second that dedicated is a good word for you. And I just want to thank you for being a part of Virtual Coffee and for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And we will talk to you soon.
Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to this episode of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. This episode was produced by Dan Ott and Becca Harat-Weigel. If you have questions or comments, you can hit us up on Twitter at virtualcoffee.io or email us at podcast@virtualcoffee.io. You can find the show notes, sign up for the newsletter, check out any of our other resources on our website, virtualcoffee.io. If you're interested in sponsoring Virtual Coffee, you can find out more information on our website at virtualcoffee.io/sponsorship. Please subscribe to our podcast and be sure to leave us a review. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.